Community Development Committee meeting to order. Item two is public comment. No one here. Item three, temporary family health care dwellings. Something new from the state.
Yeah, our legislature has blessed us with a new option. And this is really kind of interesting because we don't very often get land use issues handed to cities as mandates with an option to opt out. And this, so it's kind of odd for that particular reason. The new law allows these temporary family health care dwellings, and they allow them as recreational vehicles or small mini home structures. They're to be on a temporary basis. And it allows them in the yard or the driveway. I foresee some zoning issues and neighborhood issues with these particular units, but nonetheless, the law as adopted does provide for them. It's a little I'm a little nervous by the way they allow for them to be used by anyone who needs assistance with two or more instrumental activities of daily life for mental or physical reasons. I could see some of these being started for not pure reasons and existing far longer than the law ever intended them to be. I know we can adopt an ordinance that's more restrictive than the state law, but the bottom line is that by September 1st, the city either has to pass an ordinance to opt out, or the city will be stuck with these types of dwellings as permitted by law. It's a recommendation of staff that the council proceed with an ordinance to opt out, and the league has provided a very simple, clean opt-out ordinance. And after the council has opted out, that this matter go to the Planning Commission for their review and consideration and use their judgment as to whether or not it's something that they think has a place in the city and can be reasonably regulated.
So we need to opt out first.
I think we should.
September 1st.
Yeah. The last thing I want to do is get caught with a time frame where it's mandated, because if you don't do it by September 1st, you don't have the ability to opt out. So you can opt out and then come back into the game.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a very good ordinance, especially up here in the wintertime when our value is R15 and houses are 19 for walls, 38 for ceilings, and then you gotta insulate the sewer and water lines. Any other comments?
Well, staff would make sure that all that got done, all those things you're concerned about.
Yeah, sure.
Great.
We'd have to hire a couple more people.
I think what they've tried to do is take a step towards what you see a lot of out west and really out east. They call them granny flats, where they allow an accessory dwelling unit on someone's property, and it can be inhabited by a family member that's elderly or handicapped or whatever. But they've lost control of those too. Out in Bozeman, where my son lives, they've got all these homes they build with granny flats, and the people are, they've got a one-room apartment with a bathroom above a garage, and they're renting them out for $900 a month. And so you've got an extra car to contend with. They increase congestion in the neighborhoods. They haven't proven to be a very good idea. For people that like really confined, constrained urban neighborhoods, that's all well and good. But if you're looking at a single-family neighborhood or a one- and two-family neighborhood with some protections as far as open space, this definitely detracts from it.
Yeah. In Montana, they're a lot more permissive than we are around here.
Yes, they are.
Their government, their attitude is more, you know, the government's not supposed to buy it unless it's really important.
Yeah. Though in Bozeman, it's not that way because that's been taken over by California. So they've definitely swung the other direction in Bozeman. You get outside of Bozeman into Gallatin County, it's like this, button heads all the time.
Andrew?
Apologize for being late. I fully blame my 3-year-old child for throwing a temper tantrum on the driveway.
Sure.
Anyways.
You can't back over him.
I threatened it. He didn't take me seriously. You probably mentioned this. Okay, so this is an ordinance to opt out.
Yes.
Is there a procedure, and maybe you mentioned it, is there a procedure for exceptions? Can the city make an, is there any way for the city to make an exception to the ordinance? If it ever were to come up in the future for something that could be justifiable?
Right, and we need to opt out of the state law
first.
And then, yeah, and then have the planning commission and staff take a look at really what are our options to deal with accessory dwelling units. Okay. We could come back with an ordinance that's completely different than what the state has promoted and mandated, basically. And we're free to do whatever we want to under our own municipal zoning, so. This just gets us off the hook from the state mandate.
Audrey?
I'll make a motion to do staff's recommendation to do the opting out ordinance and then refer it to planning commission. Is that what you wanted first?
Yep.
Second.
There's a second to that. Any further discussion?
Yeah.
Audrey?
I was at the League of Minnesota Cities meeting a couple weeks ago, and they strongly recommended that we opt out, as Bruce indicated. They had some examples, and there apparently is someone who will rent these units for $1,500 a month. So, you know, the push is coming from that you can keep your loved one out of the nursing home and save $4,000 to $5,000 a month. But there's a lot of ifs and ands and ors and buts. And so their concern was that the legislature didn't address all of those things, and that if this is something that our community wants, that we should then come back and do it for what we need, so that you don't end up with, you know, taking care of someone else's loved one in your driveway, yeah. You know, kind of concept. So.
But out here, homes are big enough. There's usually a bedroom available for a family member to stay.
But it, you know, even in our situation, we've got split foyer, so. Getting someone in and out of the house is different than having someone in your driveway that you can go out and they have everything they need.
Yep.
And that's what they're, you know, there are reasons that they're talking about this. I think if it's something that needs to come back, we just got to make sure that it's done right. I saw a video on Facebook yesterday, and I don't remember where it came from, but it actually showed almost like a shed in your backyard. You know, it had nice big open doors so you could put a wheelchair in and out, and you know, they were showing what it looked like inside, and you know, it's almost like an away room kind of concept with it, but it looked to me like it was set up in the backyard. But you know, I think we need to decide what we want. So
my mother-in-law has never indicated any interest in living in my shed, so.
Well, I warned my daughter that the unit would fit in her driveway.
Has there been times when you wanted to go out there?
We have the camper for me to go in.
I was going to say, have you expressed interest in your in-law living in your house?
No.
But what's the,
this
what's
is on the record, so I don't
know. What is it called when people add on to their home and have because there are houses that are being built on so that you can have almost like an apartment attached.
Yeah, it's just an ADU, an accessory dwelling unit.
Is that what it's called?
And that's what I think the planning commission would be more interested in, opening up some options so that in a single family neighborhood, perhaps, you could have a certain percentage addition that meets all the setbacks for this particular person and have it be a separate dwelling unit. Typically, they've got to have a living room, kitchenette, and a bathroom.
Yeah.
That's what really makes them a separate unit. They don't need a lot of space. They don't need a big, great room, living room area, just a sleeping room. And
they used to be called mother-in-law apartments.
Yep.
Can't say that anymore. I know there's a couple of them just built in Hutchinson in the southwest part of town.
There may be some reasonable reasons to look at accessory dwelling units, but this healthcare dwelling unit just seems like a weird hybrid. I think you'll see most cities of any size that become aware of this are going to shy away from it.
If we opt out and there's demand for it, then we can put it back together with how it needs to be.
Yeah, we can do it the way we want to do it locally, not the way the state thinks it has to be done.
Yep.
So.
Most of the people that would need this too be elderly people. And it would be people that can't, you know, where Medicare or something like that puts a limit on the amount of time you can spend in a rehab unit in Rice Care, for example.
Can I ask one more question? You mentioned two. Are they actually using activities of daily living? And so the two things to qualify, do you remember what it said?
What they are saying, two or more instrumental activities of daily life, and that's in quotes. I'm guessing that is defined in the law somewhere.
Because that's what they use for nursing. I mean, that's what they use for long-term care and those types of things, activities, daily living. So I'm wondering if it's the same thing.
I'm guessing it is, just for consistency.
All right.
Any other questions? We have a motion and a second to opt out of this and then refer it to the planning commission. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That carries. All right. Item four. Is it logistic fee schedule?
That's just LOGIS.
LOGIS. Okay.
That's the new permitting software that we've got into this year. We've encountered some glitches with the system in that it's set up to follow building code standards and permit recommendations and plan review recommendations in the building code. Little background information. The city last adjusted our fee schedules in any significant way in about 98. At that time, it was decided that all plan review fees be set at 65% of the building permit amount to be consistent with the building code. That's exactly what the code called for. That's what it calls for now. Short time later, without real formal action, the council asked us to cut that residential plan review fee back to 40% because that's right when we're heading into a down period in the housing market. The plan at that time was that it would be done for 1 year, increased by 10% the following year, and 15% the year after that, so that we would get to that 65% number as spelled out in the building code. Although we've talked about it in the past, it's never occurred. I think it's the right time to do that so that we have consistency across the board. The county, to the best of my knowledge, uses a 65% building code number, and our LOGIS permitting software requires manual inputs to do 40% versus 65%, so we're adding time and additional calculations to the permitting process. You know, by adopting the building code, the anticipation on the part of the code is that all the jurisdictions that use the code will not only use its fee schedule, but also the plan review fee schedule. And we haven't done that. It's a recommendation of staff that the residential plan review fee be adjusted from 40% to 65%.
You mean they can't,
rewrite some of the code for the software to accommodate that?
They can. It'll come at a cost. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, but what would be the cost?
Do a customization like that, I'm guessing probably in a couple thousand dollar range.
So you manually calculate it and enter it now?
Yeah. And is that the end of the world?
No.
Is this an end of the world make or break kind of thing for the department of the city? Absolutely not. Just another way that we can bring some consistency to our processes with the county. There was never any real public clamor for this 40% in the past. It came from council people. And
it's just the plan review, it's not the permit.
Right, it's just plan review, not the permit. There would be no adjustment to permit fees.
And it'll add, what, 100 to 200 bucks?
Yeah, I mean, depending, if you've got a $200 permit right now, you would pay 40% of that, or $80 for your plan review fee, and it'd go from 80 to 130 under this proposal.
And that's what the county does?
The county charges, to the best of my knowledge, are 65% right across the board for residential, commercial, and industrial.
So you can find out by Tuesday to see that they're doing that? I think it makes sense to be consistent with what they do. Any other?
I can make a motion to do that, if you want to incorporate that. Asking staff to review it before Tuesday, in the motion, or do that after?
Or do you want it to be, to do it if it's consistent with the county?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm good with that.
Second?
Yeah, I'll second that.
Further discussion? Tim? No? Okay, we got a motion on the table to increase it pending what the county has done.
Yep.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Unless I'm off base, we'll make the adjustment, but the last conversations I had with staff, in my mind, I recall that they said this is what the county is doing, so if not, we will have an unadjusted fee schedule.
So it carries on, so we'll look for that on Tuesday.
Yep.
Old business. Any updates on our housing in North Wellmore, the units? Campbell and Olaf?
Demolition.
Oh, demolition. The order has been served on Campbell. They are nearing the end of their compliance period. Olaf has been set for court, I believe, on the 6th of July. So we'll have a court order early next month.
And the big announcement for the new business wasn't really so big.
No.
Anticipation.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully, I heard a lot of women like that store, so hopefully it's good. Some guys like it too.
From the best of my knowledge, I dug into the news articles, and what I found out is they set up a new policy for their way of going about setting up new stores, because as a result of some political stuff when they challenged the Affordable Care Act on the abortion deal, there was a lot of pushback, there's a lot of news and stuff like that, and some city councils and planning commissions that felt rather opinionated about Hobby Lobby's political views. Hobby Lobby would go to file permits and plats and stuff like that in certain towns, and they'd get turned down.
Really?
Simply because of that. And so they decided that it's better for them to get the ball rolling on their projects anonymously before they could get
blackballed?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. And it was awful.
I mean, ultimately it is politics, because there's no way those arguments are going to be very very well accepted by the court system if they want to challenge the local action. It just complicates things.
Great and
adds steps and money to the process.
Yeah. Took them extra time to get started. I think, yeah, they said on average it pushed some of their store openings 3 to 6 months, pushed them back every single project.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that cost an incredible amount of money.
Mm-hmm. Didn't hear that. And then we have a tenant in town that's getting TIF or something, and now he's asking Benson to class him. He wants to move everything over to Benson now.
Oh, where they came from.
Yeah.
Interesting. I had not heard that.
Okay.
So.
This is on the radio, so it's got to be true.
Really?
He wants,
where was I last week?
He wants to move it back into his business over there, Red Ball, and no property taxes for 10 years.
That's what he's asking him for, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he's been leasing property from Vernix.
Yeah.
And
he's got some subsidy from us.
Yeah, there was a short-term abatement, I believe. I would have to double check to see if that expired. those just go back on the tax rolls when they're, when they expire, so. Well, I have my own thoughts about a company that's gotta play those kind of financial games.
And then what about where Oil Air is? I see that building's for sale.
If that building.
If the new owner comes in and buys it and they want it out?
They will have to buy it with the terms of the abatement, or the abatement's done on that building as well.
Okay.
So the other one didn't approach us to do anything else, right?
They're just shopping.
Yeah.
Or maybe someone.
It's a business move.
On their end, on the other end is.
Courting.
Courting, yeah.
Well, Benson was pretty frustrated with him when he pulled up stakes a number of years back, but it's been kind of a back and forth game with that company for survival anyway.
Any other old business?
Just the Y project. We continue to negotiate a final scope for the project with BNSF. We have gotten an alternative that I think is acceptable for our spur access. So they are going to be providing us with the spur access that we expected. A couple other issues to work out with some at-grade crossings, both starting and closing, and some other issues with regard to some of the overpasses and agreements, but it's all being ironed out. We meet at least weekly by phone, typically weekly in person, and then the negotiating group's been getting together every couple of weeks in Minneapolis at the consultant's office to work with the MnDOT legal team to structure the agreement.
Moving forward.
Yes, very educational. Any environmental is moving forward as well. So that's really why all this other stuff is going on as almost a sidebar to the environmental. Because until we have a final project scope agreed upon, they can't complete the environmental work. But we've got till September of 2017 to get the environmental approved and the grant agreement executed. We are on schedule to do that.
It's quieted down at the airport. We got our own gas in there now.
Yep. I can't say enough about the work that staff has done to keep things in order out there. Megan DeShepper, working with Eric Runnigan, has done a fantastic job of stepping in and picking up pieces. We're currently working out some issues with Mr. Nagin regarding some disagreement about who owns what in the hangar, but I know Megan was out there this afternoon and met with him. I think Megan and Larry went out. And so those things are being resolved, and he's been provided with his letter telling him when he's done, what we will do to reimburse him for the fuel, how we'll handle offsets against that fuel value as rents and fuel flowage fees that he owes the city, and I'm confident that will go smoothly. Megan has prepared the RFP for new FBO. That'll be published, and I think it's on our website now, and it should be published next week. And she's put together a process to involve the airport commission, the airport commission chair, and some staff in various levels of review and interviews for the FBO. So.
I got a question regarding that. I received a call from somebody regarding, not wasn't their attorney, but regarding filing liens for money owed. And I said, and they asked, to what level is the city involved in that? And I said, as far as I know, absolutely no involvement when it comes to filing liens on the property of, private property of other people. So they said, oh, okay, fine. And, they asked if they should contact the city attorney, and I said, I don't believe so.
I don't think the city attorney would give them any of his time until he had been directed by someone
okay.
from the city to do it. But
that's what I figured, but I said no just in case, because that's a completely separate, I basically told him to get in line.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about contract law, but I'm not really sure that with the FBO contractor agreement we had, that the city really fits into any chain of liens that might be established out there.
That's all personal property.
Yeah, it's all personal property. He didn't own any, I mean, the airport property, we own that, so.
Yeah, exactly.
He just.
He couldn't have had too much fuel left, did he, in those tanks?
No, he wanted to be paid for everything in the tanks, including the non-pumpable fuel, and we said, no, that non-pumpable fuel was in those tanks when you bought the business. You didn't pay for that fuel, so. We took a pretty hard line on that.
I've gotten good feedback about the resulting fuel prices. A couple pilots that are used to fueling elsewhere that have flown into town in the last 2 weeks, specifically to fuel up.
Yeah.
And they, according to them, they will both continue doing that now.
So well, they don't park here?
They will now.
Oh, they'll come back and lease?
Yeah, they've been going out, they've been bringing their planes elsewhere for mechanical services and for fuel.
Yeah, they're based here. They're hangered here. They just go elsewhere for fuel and services.
And they were leaving. And they've told me that they're happy to come back and have their planes worked on. We get a new FBO, a new mechanic, wherever. They're happy to have their mechanical services here. They're happy to buy fuel here now.
And if Brian maintains his MnDOT license, he can continue on the airport as a single source, single service FBO. He can continue to provide out of a private hangar maintenance services. But he has to comply with all the other minimum standards on the airport as well, as far as exterior storage, building maintenance, facilities maintenance, all of that. So he does have some options.
Audrey?
Monday night, I was listening at the finance committee meeting. They were talking about the FBO, but they didn't. No one asked whether his insurance is complete and whether the licensing that someone said he didn't have, he's gotten his license back. So,
no. The state of Minnesota has reissued his license, and in order to do that, he had to satisfy them with insurance. And the insurance, he is currently not meeting the full liability requirements of the city's insurance policy, but because he's on his way out, he's been issued his orders to evacuate the premises, so we're not going to get that from him.
But in order to have his license,
he had to have.
The state wouldn't let him have a license if he didn't have insurance.
Right.
He can't finish ongoing contracts without that.
But he didn't have it for a while, correct?
He did not have that license.
Yes.
He does have it now. It's been reinstated by the state of Minnesota.
I was uncomfortable with the comments that were made that about keeping him on a week-to-week basis after terminating him. I mean, how's that work?
We're not really sure, and it's definitely not the preference. I think it's a back pocket safeguard if for some reason we decide that we need somebody there to provide certain services at the end of his termination that city staff or the other maintenance people can't provide, we can have that as an option. I don't think he's real interested in either side. It's just something we'd look at the end of his termination period. I'm guessing that things will go off just fine without him.
Anything else?
New restaurant coming?
I've heard rumors.
So somebody asked me, I don't know.
There's two of them in the hub.
No, this was not there.
And I also heard that there's a new business in town that would involve grocery sales and delivery, and they've inquired about liquor sales and delivery. I don't think Minnesota law allows liquor delivery.
Liquor delivery?
Yeah.
You can have chip, do you?
There's a novel concept.
Yeah, but I mean, I think you're talking like a liquor store. We probably say I need a 12-pack pronto. Yeah.
Sorry.
So do we license? We don't license taxis anymore.
That's crazy.
I didn't know we had so many in town.
You know, honest to God, I don't know if the city does or not, or if they gave that up. I was never involved in it, but, okay. Yeah, you're seeing more marked taxis.
Yeah, but some of the vehicles I wouldn't get in.
A question about smoking.
Don't do it.
Well, I know.
That's not good.
The restaurants that have outdoor seating, do we not, can you not, isn't it, doesn't it incorporate into no smoking within a certain distance of where food is served? Do you know?
I believe that's correct. I could not give you a citation, but why are you finding people smoking at the outdoor eating?
Yeah.
I don't believe that's, I mean, it's part of the restaurant.
Okay.
I don't believe they have that option.
The restaurant owners know that?
Well, it was a question that was asked to me, so I didn't observe it, but it was asked of me. And I was just relating to what I know from other communities that, you know, there's outdoor seating. You can't smoke there where the food's served.
You see people outside of the patio area smoking. There'll be ashtrays outside of the patio.
They have to leave the patio area to smoke.
Yep, that's what my understanding was.
I just wanted to hear the same thing.
And usually it's so many feet from a door or opening, building penetration, whatever they do it.
Is that something you can look up?
I could.
Anything else? What's your new business?
I will find out and let you know, Audrey. The University of Minnesota and the Minnesota Board of Animal Health are building a new facility in the north end of town. When they came to us with their site plans before they started construction, we informed them that we were very much concerned about the minimal amount of parking they were providing on their site. Because they are a state facility, they do not have to comply with local zoning. So we could not require them to provide the number of spaces that we thought should be there. Now that the project is nearing, approaching completion, they have come to the city and said, we don't think we have enough parking. So, on the attached sheets, the first one that...
An official told you so document?
Yes. The first sheet shows the circular drive into their new unit with a half dozen parking spaces out front, and then some parking spaces along the side of the rear of the building. What's being proposed and requested is that they connect their sidewalk alongside the building here to our community center parking lot, and then enter into a use agreement with the city for approximately 23 additional spaces that they would pay to have paved and developed on our community center property. This is property that right now is mostly unpaved, gravel surfaced. And then they would want, you see they want the one space X'd out for pedestrian access to their sidewalk. You see that on the color aerial. Okay, the community center sits up here.
Okay,
so this is way back behind. Here's the garden. The garden sits here. Here's that little shed back behind there.
That's what that is.
Yeah. So what they're proposing is to extend the bituminous back a number of feet, finishing off a row of parking here that terminates. This is the last parking that exists on the site. What they would do is create perpendicular spaces to match up, or diagonal spaces to match up with the other side, and then add another complete row of diagonal parking opposite that, as well as continue the diagonal parking down the side of the property that currently exists. This is all the pavement here, so not knowing what the future that building is going to bring, the future of that whole site, and knowing that we've got some excess property available right now, it's a recommendation of staff that the council approve the concept and authorize the execution of a license agreement between the city of Wilmer and the University of Minnesota for that property. We'll have to define the property and further define the project, and then Robert will draft a license agreement. We've got a number of these agreements in place for other property owners that are using portions of public property. They accept all responsibility. It's all their cost to do all the maintenance work. We'll have to do the civil review to make sure that it has proper drainage, and we've already been to the site and walked over most of those issues with the University of Minnesota, and obviously they're interested in doing it. That's why we're here.
So they're gonna pave the gravel area?
They're gonna pave what's shown in light gray on here, and those areas are currently gravel right now.
How's the other parking lot? Is that crappy too?
For the most part, it's not bad.
Think we redo that?
Portions of it, or a portion of it, yeah. You gotta remember, this parking lot goes way back over here. There's a lot of parking out there.
There's some bad spots where water stands and freezes on a regular basis.
Yeah, and that's up towards the building and here, yep.
And remained bad spots after it was fixed.
I wonder, I'm not familiar with the repair.
Wasn't it just a couple of years ago?
I'm guessing we probably just went in there with some cold mix or hot mix and tamped in there. It probably raised this area here and created a low area next to it, so you just moved the problem over a couple of feet. That's a very flat parking lot, so drainage is not as good as we'd like it to be.
What's right here? Is this, this is that other building, right?
Yes, this is USDA property here.
So the trees are USDA?
The trees that you see back here are USDA. Our city trees go down to here, and then they jump over to USDA property here. So everything you see inside the dash line on this side are city trees, and then everything on this side is USDA property. There's a large berm back here that has these trees on as well.
They'll do it to our specs then.
Absolutely, yeah. Our engineering department will dictate the gravel and pavement section that they will have to meet, as well as the stormwater requirements.
How does snow removal factor in?
I guess we haven't got that figured out. It might be just as simple. Our public works people are pushing that lot for the small areas we're talking here. It's probably simpler to just have them push the snow off these small pieces, as it is to try to expect the U to bring somebody in and, you know, combat, you know, have the U come in and push all their stuff over to our property, have our guys come in and push it to theirs.
And it's no snow removal. It's been it's more sidewalk, I think, issues out there both than parking lot.
I don't think the parking lot's ever been a real issue, and we've. I don't think the maintenance people have ever been able to satisfy the seniors as far as snow removal speed, and maybe even the quality of the work. And they look at things differently.
Yeah, on the reverse side, when you got icicles hanging and ice where you're supposed to walk, it's not a good deal.
It isn't, and I'm guessing that some of those issues are pretty well detailed in the facilities report.
I would guess so.
So they wouldn't want to resurface the whole parking lot and then pave the gravel?
If you lay that out as a condition, then it's up to them to decide.
I mean, they're short parking.
I was going to say, what other option do they have?
Yeah.
We're also going to need a new community center.
Take it or leave it.
Well, we've given some thoughts to the future of this property internally, and we've got some what I think are pretty good ideas that would play into the U using this site in the future as well with a subsequent property owner, even if the city left that site with a community center. Let's just say that our imaginations run pretty wild on some of these things. And
just, it seemed like this new building was so shoehorned into that property, like just. That was my first thought.
They meet our setbacks, and that is all.
Just barely, right?
Yep.
That's the
and they meet our stormwater ordinance, because they have stormwater controls out front to accommodate their flows. the big deficiency is the parking. And we told them they were 25 spaces short when they brought us the plans last year.
That's, my dad mentioned something to me too, and I said, boy, if they're meeting the minimums, like they're hitting the minimums, and that is, because you look at it, you go, man, they're really just.
Yeah, they had even proposed that they would have some parallel parking on the south side of their driveway or the west side of their driveway, whatever we had here. Yeah, I guess it'd be the west side of their driveway and right up to the property line. We told them we didn't like that either. They needed to maintain some type of snow storage area from the property line and their neighbor, and now they're going to be able to provide a little bit more of that than they would under the original plan if we can work out a deal on some space for them behind the community center.
Did you say they're asking for 23 spaces?
Yeah, I think they've 9 and then 2 rows of 7
yeah,
each.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So in other words, they still disagree with it. You told them we needed 25 spaces.
We told them that to meet our minimum would be 25. They're probably still trying to make a point, Tim. I don't know.
I thought I recall you said 23 anyway.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, now that, or you said, you know, and then they thought, well, you want 25, so.
How many employees do they have there? And then how many they expect to be employed there now?
Well, we asked them that question. They employ, I believe, in the mid-teens. The reason that they need all this parking is that now that they've got a new facility, the university is going to be expecting them to host periodic meetings and seminars in this facility. And really the only option that they have would be to have parking on High Avenue and have everybody hoof in from High. So
until we put no parking signs in.
Exactly. And they can lease space from BN.
Yeah, right.
What do you need from us?
I would like action to recommend to the full council that the city draft a license agreement with the University of Minnesota and authorize that the necessary signatures be authorized for execution. And I'm guessing it would probably be the mayor and administrator.
So they'll be parking where now? The senior center's up here.
Yep, they're going to be way in the back part.
Not here. Well, they'll try until they're caught.
We told them that we will be watching to make sure that they do the best they can in monitoring the parking. If they've got people coming from out of town, we said you keep a little drawing and you show the people where the university spaces are on the drawing. There's going to be times where, let's face it, they're going to be using other spaces. But this is so far back, there's rarely anybody for the senior center or the community center parked back here.
Well, I'd say, I mean, keep a bunch of handicap parking up there. But if they resurface it and then do that, they can park.
I think half the guys doing the construction work there are parking on.
They came and dropped off a big container in this gravel area of equipment for this building when we were meeting with them out there last week. So
they didn't even have enough room for staging or anything.
No.
There's no way they can do a sidewalk in front of the parking versus have them walk behind the cars and through?
No, there's not enough room to effectively do that. It would force them to get partly onto the property that is USDA, and nobody really wants to open up a third party can of worms on that one.
Okay.
We're trying to find a simple solution that comes at no cost to the city, solves their problem, but doesn't really offer them any guarantees for the future. They're going out on a limb here too. But it's also a situation that they created.
Yeah.
So we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Sure.
Did you make a motion?
No, but I will.
Oh, I thought you did.
I asked what we needed to do, so.
I guess my plan went down. Is there a second?
Oh, second.
Further discussion?
What was your plan?
Oh, we'll let them park closer to their building, but they
have
to resurface the existing.
Oh, I got it.
And then do that.
You can take the senior calls when they can't park there.
Well, that's why I'd have a bunch of.
We'll put a sign with the Rick's phone number out there.
Yeah, I know, but there's a ton of senior citizens that go there. They're not all handicapped.
No, most of them won't use it.
Depends on the day. It's like me, I have bad days.
And two, and they're not all physical.
Back to activities of daily living.
What's the motion again? Let them.
That the city attorney draft the license agreement and authorize the necessary signatures.
Efficient.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
And authorize something or other, you've added up.
Administrator and mayor.
City attorney review it? City attorney will review it?
Yeah, I've already talked to him. All he needs is, it'll be a standard license agreement. He just needs some information such as the number of parking spaces, the use responsibility to meet our construction section and stormwater, and just to lay out the details in there.
And then if the property gets sold, they'll have to negotiate with the new buyer.
Absolutely, yep. There's no guarantees.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That carries. Anything else?
Thank you, I have nothing.
Nothing else from anyone? Move to adjournment?
Sure.
All right, thanks.